Welcome back to the Hemingway List, your favorite podcast, definitely. Today we're talking about Anna Karenina, part 2, chapter 31. Kitty met her crush. Why is she so into Varenka? Sorry about my phone going vroom vroom ba-ding, like that. It tends to do that occasionally. Vroom vroom ba-ding. That one was me. My third novel, Personal Fable, is now out for beta reading. I've put it into the hands of 3 beta readers so far who are going to test read it, see how it reads, and oh my god, it's agonizing. It is agonizing. Because, it's just an agonizing impatience is all it is. Because it's taken me 5 years to get to this point, and all I want to know is, like, is this book trash or not? It might be. I've got no idea. And so you hand it over to someone who said, you know, they've put their hand up to read it. And realistically, it's going to take them a few weeks, right? Like, to get around to critically reading a novel. It's not just something you can bang out in an afternoon. Although, for some people it is, but not always. What am I saying here? Oh, yeah, but then, so you hand it over and then you're like, okay, I'll expect some feedback to start coming in at minimum a week, but, you know, probably over the next few weeks. But you've just got to wait that first week or so for people to, I don't know. You know that feeling? Like, you know when you show someone something you've made and they're having a look at it, you know? And you're watching or waiting for them to react and waiting for them to give their feedback. It's like that, but it goes for a week. Or more. Oh, man. Actually, good friend of the podcast, moderator of the subreddit, we all know his name, Techrific, has put his hand up to do a beta read. So, Techrific, thank you so much for doing that. You're an absolute legend. Once again, going above and beyond the call of duty, but I do appreciate that. Anyway, that's what's happening in my life currently. I also bought yesterday, sorry to those people who don't care about anything other than the books that we're reading, but this is the big thing in my life, and when I say big thing, I mean it's freaking humongous. But I needed an elliptical machine, cross trainer, because I don't know, I need to lose a few kilos, and that's my favorite cardio machine. When I go to the gym, that's the one I like to spend my time on. Low impact, you know, I've got a bad knee, so the low impactness of a cross trainer is quite good for me. Anyway, I needed to get one. So I've been looking for one for ages on Facebook Marketplace. Finally found one, and from the photos, I'm like, yeah, that looks like a pretty good one. You know, you can tell the cheapness or the expensiveness of them. I'm like, it looks good, and it also looked fairly small. Like some of them are humongous things, and then some of them are about the size of maybe like a treadmill. Some of them look even smaller, like even the size of an exercise bike, but just a bit more upright. And this one looked not huge, but still big enough to be good quality. Anyway, so I said to the guy, I'll take it. He actually lived at the other end of the same town that I'm in. So he offered to even drop it off at my place. So he turns up in his ute, and holy crap, this thing is massive. In the photos, it didn't look huge. It is massive. Basically takes up a whole room of my house. And we were getting it down off the trailer, and I said, mate, this looks like a really good one. And he goes, yeah, I paid $2,500 for it when I bought it a couple of years ago. $2,500. Do you know how much he was selling it to me for? $100. What a bargain. Right, bargain alert, sound the alarms, this guy got a bargain. So I was pretty happy. Pretty happy with that. Even though it takes up a whole room of my house, that's okay. Got to put your fitness first, right? You got to stay healthy. And yeah, so that's the big thing in my life right now. I got a real good bargain and a really big cross-training machine. So now I just need to lose 20 kilos. And we're good. Anna Karenina, Part 2, Chapter 31. Wish me luck, everyone. Wish me luck on the weight loss. Wish me luck on the beta reading of my book. Kitty Meadow Crush, why is she so into Varenka? I Am Norwegian said, and I quote, Kitty sees something she wants for herself in Varenka. She does other things that ruminate and stew, and she does these things with focus and drive. And her disposition is that of a virtuous, content, and pleasurable person. Okay, so she's attracted to her. Why is she attracted to her, though? She does these things with focus and drive, and she seems virtuous, content, and pleasurable. Pleasant? She just is attracted to her attitude, by the looks of things, and her, she's capable. She seems capable, right, and confident. Techrific said, question one, I think I am Norwegian. And Swim said the mum of fishy answered that partially yesterday. Kitty is evolving as a person, and she admires Varenka, making her a kind of role model going forward. Kitty is tired and disillusioned with her former immature self, the little girl that became besotted by Vronsky. She's looking for an example to emulate, and Varenka appeals to her inner compass. Swim said the mama fishy said, I also think this is very deliberate on Tolstoy's part. Kitty's new BFF is Varenka, while Anna's new BFF is Betsy. The two women could not be more different. Very good point, says Techrific. I hadn't thought of that. That's all we had on the conversation front today. Not a lot of conversation about that chapter. I suppose it didn't really reveal much. And in a way, I kind of asked the same question today as what I asked yesterday. So that's maybe a little bit on me. But yeah, I think yesterday's chapter sort of just served to reiterate and elaborate on the previous chapter. So I didn't really have much else to go with there. Chapter 32 goes like this. The particulars the Princess Shcherbatskaya learnt about Varenka's past and about her relations with Madame Stahl and about Madame Stahl herself were the following. Madame Stahl, of whom some people said that she had tormented her husband to death, while others said that by his immoral conduct he had tormented her, had always been a sickly and ecstatic woman. When her first baby was born, she, being already divorced from her husband, it died at once, and her relations, knowing how susceptible she was and fearing that this news might kill her, changed her dead child for one who had been born that night in the same house in Petersburg, the daughter of a chef at a palace. That child was Varenka. Madame Stahl learned afterwards that Varenka was not her daughter, but continued to bring her up, the more readily because it happened that very soon Varenka had no relations left. Madame Stahl had lived continuously abroad in the south for more than 10 years, hardly ever leaving her bed. Some people said that she had made for herself a position in society by her pose as a philanthropic and highly religious woman. Others said that she really was the highly moral being, living only to do good, that she seemed to be. No one knew what her religion was, Roman Catholic, Protestant, or Greek Orthodox. But one thing was certain, namely that she was in friendly relations with the most highly placed personages of all the churches and denominations. Varenka always lived with her abroad, and all who knew Madame Stahl knew and liked Mademoiselle Varenka, as everybody called her. Having learnt all these particulars, the princess saw nothing to object to in a friendship between her daughter and Varenka, especially as Varenka's manners and education were excellent. She spoke French and English admirably, and, above all, she brought Madame Stahl's regrets at having been deprived through illness of the pleasure of making the princess's acquaintance when she had made Varenka's acquaintance, Kitty became more and more fascinated by her friend and found new virtues in her every day. The princess, having heard that Varenka sang very well, invited her to come and sing to them one evening. Kitty plays, and we have a piano, though not a good one, and you would give us great pleasure, said the princess with her feigned smile, which was especially unpleasant to Kitty now because she noticed that Varenka did not wish to sing. Varenka, however, came in the evening and brought her music. The princess had also invited Mary Evgenyevna with her daughter and the colonel. Varenka did not seem at all abashed by the fact that strangers were present, and she went straight up to the piano. She could not accompany herself, but she sang at sight admirably. Kitty, who played well, accompanied her. "You have an exceptional talent," said the princess, after Varenka had sung her first song excellently. Mary Evgenyevna and her daughter thanked her and praised her singing. "See," said the colonel, looking out the window, "what an audience has assembled to hear you." Underneath the window, a considerable crowd really had collected. "I am very glad it gives you pleasure," said Varenka simply. Kitty looked at her friend with pride. She was enraptured by her singing, her voice, her face, and above all by her manner. By the fact that Varenka evidently attached no importance to her own singing and was quite indifferent to the praise she got, she only seemed to ask, "Have I to sing again, or is it enough?" "If it were I," thought Kitty, "how proud I should feel, how glad I should be to see that crowd under the windows. But she is quite indifferent. She only wished not to refuse and to give Mama pleasure. What is it in her? What gives her this power to disregard everything and to be so quietly independent? How I should like to know this and to learn it from her," thought Kitty, gazing into the calm face. The princess asked Varenka to sing again, and she sang another song, just as truly, clearly, and well, standing straight at the piano and beating time on it with her thin brown hand. The next piece in the music book was an Italian song. Kitty played the prelude and looked around at Varenka. "Let us skip this one," said Varenka, blushing. Kitty anxiously and inquiringly fixed her eyes on Varenka's face. "Well, then another one," she said, hurriedly turning over the pages, immediately realizing that there was something particular connected with that song. "No," answered Varenka, putting her hand on the music and smiling. "No, let us sing that one." And she sang the piece just as calmly, coldly, and well as the previous ones. When she had finished, everybody again thanked her and went to drink tea. But Kitty and Varenka went out into the little garden belonging to the house. "Am I not right? You have some money attached to that song. Sorry, I read that wrong. Am I not right? You have some memory attached to that song?" asked Kitty. "Don't tell me about it," she added hurriedly. "Only say if I am right." "Why not? I will tell you," said Varenka simply, and without waiting for a reply, continued, "Yes, there is a memory attached to it, and it was a painful once. You know, it was painful once. I loved a man and used to sing that song to him." Kitty, deeply moved, gazed silently and with wide open eyes at Varenka. "I loved him and he loved me, but his mother would not have it, and he married another. He lives not far from us now, and I see him sometimes. You did not think that I too have had a romance," she said, and on her handsome face there flickered for an instant a spark of the fire which Kitty felt at once lighted up her whole being. "I not think it? Why, if I were a man, I could not have loved anyone else after knowing you. But I can't understand how to satisfy his mother. He could forget you and make you unhappy. He must be quite heartless." "Oh no, he's a very good man, and I'm not unhappy. On the contrary, I am very happy. Well, we shan't sing any more today," she added, and went toward the house. "How good you are, how good," exclaimed Kitty, stopping her and kissing her. "If only I could be a little bit like you." "Why should you be like me? You're very good as you are," said Varenka, smiling her gentle, weary smile. "No, I am not at all good. But tell me, wait a bit. Let us sit down," said Kitty, making Varenka sit down on the garden seat beside her. "Tell me, is it possible that you are not offended at the thought that a man despised your love, that he did not wish. But he did not despise it. I believe that he loved me, but he wasn't an obedient son. Yes, but if it had not been his mother's doing, but his own, said Kitty, feeling that she had given away her secret, and that her face, burning with a blush of shame, had already betrayed her. Then he would have behaved badly, and I should not regret him, replied Varenka, evidently conscious that they were now speaking not about her, but about Kitty. But the humiliation, said Kitty. One cannot forget the humiliation, one cannot. And she remembered the look she gave Vronsky at the ball when the music stopped. Where is the humiliation? You did not do anything wrong. Worse than wrong, shameful. Varenka shook her head and put her hand on Kitty's. Shameful in what respect? She said. You could not have told a man who was himself indifferent to you that you loved him. Of course not. I never said a single word, but he knew it. No, no, there are such things as looks and ways of behaving. If I live to be 100, I shall never forget it. What does it matter? I don't understand. The question is, do you love him now or not? Said Varenka, calling everything by its plain name. I hate him and I cannot forgive myself. But what does it matter? The shame, the humiliation. Dear me, if everyone were as sensitive as you are, said Varenka, there is no girl who has not gone through the same sort of thing, and it is all so unimportant. Then what is important? Asked Kitty, looking into her face with surprised curiosity. Many things are important, replied Varenka, not knowing what to say, but at that moment they heard the princess's voice from the window. Kitty, it is getting chilly. Either take a shawl or come in. Yes, I really must be going, said Varenka, rising. I have to look in at Madame Berthe's, she asked me to. Kitty held her hands and with passionate curiosity and entreaty questioned Varenka with her eyes. What is more important? What gives you such peace? You know, tell me. But Varenka did not even understand what Kitty's eyes were asking. She only knew that she had to call on Madame Berthe and get home in time for Mama's midnight tea. She went in, collected her music, and having said goodbye to everybody, prepared to go. Allow me to see you home, said the colonel. Yes, how can you go alone at this time of night, agreed the princess. I will at any rate send Pasha with you. Kitty noticed that Varenka had difficulty in suppressing a smile at the idea that she needed anyone to see her home. Oh no, I always go out alone, and nothing ever happens to me, she said, taking up her hat. And kissing Kitty again, but without telling her what was most important, she went out with vigorous steps with her music under her arm, and disappeared in the semi-darkness of the summer night, carrying with her the secret of what was important, and to what she owed her enviable tranquility and dignity. All right. There we go, another chapter down. I like this character, you know. I like this Varenka. She seems wise. She seems like exactly who Kitty needs to meet at this point of the book to wisen her up a little bit. Have your say about the chapter over at the subreddit. Please do it. Please do it. We love to hear from you. We love to hear from everyone who's involved. Your comments are always interesting and welcome. Thank you very much for listening today. I will see you tomorrow.